You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson.
Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise, knowledge of business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener, and this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about protecting the people in your business, and we're going to have a couple of different angles on that. And to do that, we're joined by Drew and Justin of First Safety Oxfordshire. So I'm sure they're going to share lots of interesting insight over the next hour. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our two guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. And today I'm really, really excited actually to be joined by Drew and Justin of First for Safety Oxfordshire. Both have kindly agreed to join us and to share some really interesting insights to their business that has many different aspects, but all focused on safety. So let's start by introducing you both. Justin, I'm going to start with you if that's okay. Talk to me more about yourself, your background, and indeed the side of the business that you look after.
Yeah, hi Ben. Yeah, thanks very much for having us on. So my name's Justin. I'm the Joint Managing Director of First for Safety Oxfordshire Limited. I look after the fire safety side of the company. So we specialise in fire risk assessment, fire strategies, fire safety training. My background is predominantly fire and rescue service. So I've done 22 years within the local fire and rescue service, both in New Zealand and over in the UK. And the last sort of five and a bit years of my service was in the fire protection department. So the sort of regulatory enforcement of the regulatory reform fire safety order 2005, bit of a mouthful. But that's pretty much what I've been doing. And just basically leading businesses through compliance of that order to make sure they're safe.
Amazing. No, thanks so much. And Drew, welcome. Justin, talk to me about your side of the business.
Okay, so thanks, Ben. Thanks for having us. So I set up the business 12 years ago. And after we had our daughter, our first child, I realised very quickly that there was nowhere really for parents to go to learn emergency first aid. They don't need to go on a 6-hour accredited course. It's too long. It's too expensive. They're too tired. They'd have to pay for childcare. So I introduced a 2-hour family emergency first aid course, and I started running that and fitting it around our own childcare with our daughter. I've had extensive experience with first aid for years and years and years. And the business sort of gradually grew from there. We ended up doing, we still do the 2-hour family emergency first aid course, but we grew into accredited courses for businesses and obviously the fire safety side of the business. We also do manual handling, mental health training. We can assist people with fire extinguisher provision and fire alarms, fire door surveys, fire risk assessments, as you know, and we've just recently introduced PAT testing as well, because it all comes sort of ties in together quite nicely with the fire side of the business. So yeah, that's where First for Safety came from. And as far as my background, it's a bit of a mishmash. I did 5 years in the police. I'm just sort of emergency services mad. I've just moved from one emergency service to another. I did 5 years in the police. I qualified as a right squad medic, and that was sort of the first aid side of it. I'd been doing first aid for years anyway. Then I got a bit fed up with the police, if I'm honest. I moved into the fire service, and then I was an operational firefighter for 14 years. Absolutely loved it, but it was very difficult after we had children with the childcare, because we didn't have any family that could help, or Justin's family in New Zealand. So after 14 years, I needed to find a job where I could work part-time to fit the childcare in. So I left the fire service and joined the ambulance service. And I did 9 years working on emergency ambulances with South Central Ambulance Service, which was, all of it was brilliant, amazing, amazing experiences. And obviously loads of first aid relevant experiences in there.
No, absolutely. No, really great intro from you both. Thank you for that. And looking forward to building it over over the show. But there's two hard questions that the two of you are going to get today. That is away from safety, which is song choices. So, Drew, I'm going to stay with you and you can have first pick. Who's going to have the better song? So what's your song choice and why have you picked it?
Oh, well, my song choice will be the best, Ben, obviously. I'm going to choose Sia, Unstoppable, just because I love Sia. And it's just such a go-getter song. I just absolutely love it. It's so, I don't know, just so motivating. I absolutely love the song.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Today I'm really, really excited to be presenting a really interesting show, actually, and a really important show. We're joined by Drew and Justin of First for Safety Oxfordshire, and we're going to be discussing how you can protect the people in your business. So let's start with the roundtable discussion. Justin, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay, and just really start on... really the fire. Let's start with fire. So if you think back to your time with the fire service or indeed your current business, what are the biggest reasons that fires start, and like what are the key things that we should be looking out for?
So I think it's a long journey back, you know, a nice journey back, actually, to think when I back when I joined the fire and rescue service back, or when it was the fire service back in 2001. Mm. It's been a big journey since then. I think, you know, we've seen, you know, quite a lot of change over the years. Mm. And some pretty horrific incidents as well. recently, you know, I think the most important thing about fire safety, especially for the business owner, is to be aware of the regulatory reform fire safety order 2005, which actually came out in 2006, and it is the underpinning legislation for workplaces in the UK. The enforcing authority is normally the local fire and rescue service, and you know there are set guidelines within that legislation that workplaces, or we refer to them as responsible persons. So the person, normally the person that's at the top of the tree, it could be the employer or the manager if they're in charge of the workplace, or the owner as well if they're also in any way responsible for the workplace. And you know there are set things that they need to ensure are employed within the workplace to keep employees or relevant persons, as we would call them, so anybody that could be affected by a fire within the vicinity of that building, safe. So if there's a fire within the building, will people know about it and can they get out safely?
No, absolutely. No, really good intro there. And Drew, just coming on to yourself with a similar question, really. So as an employer, should you have first aid trained staff? And do you need to be a certain size to have first aid trained staff? Like what's I guess the decision making process there?
Yeah, that's quite a complicated question, Ben. The HSC guidelines are really woolly on that one. The best place I can direct people is to go to the guidelines for the HSE. It's very, very dependent. It depends on so many things. It depends on how many employees you've got, whether you're low risk, high risk, as to how many first aiders you're going to actually need. Mm-hmm. And then within that, there's further recommendations on not just how many first aiders you need, but what level of qualification those first mm-hmm. aiders have got. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that I can't answer the question in like a sort of 5-minute interview. It is quite complicated, and people need to go to the HSE guidelines and be able to establish where they fit within those guidelines as to how many first aiders they actually need and what qualification those first aiders have to have.
Okay, perfect. No, fine. And Justin, just go back to fire. And I'm going to be a little bit negative here, but the repercussions can be huge, can't they? If you've made a mistake and you've not followed fire safety, and there is a fire, you can be uninsured, and you know it can be risk of life. To build on that point, what are the implications of not following the right guidelines?
Yeah, definitely. And it's a great point, Ben. And imagine if you're a business owner and you lost your business, you know, everything that you've built up, or if you're an employee and all of a sudden the next day you wake up and as a result of an action that was done by one of your colleagues or even yourself and the building burnt down, you lose your employment. So fire safety, I think, is such an important thing. I think as a society, creating a culture where fire safety and health and safety can be openly discussed in the workplace, and that everybody is able to, you know, if they think there's something wrong, or if they want to report something to their line managers, or even if they need advice, you know, they're not afraid to phone a professional, phone the local fire and rescue service for help, or raise it with their line manager so that it can be looked into by a competent professional so that they can be put right.
No, absolutely. No, really, really good advice. And Drew, just continuing on the safety route, we've spoken a little bit about fire safety, but I guess under the first aid umbrella, I appreciate there isn't a one size fits all, but what are some of the things you can consider? So obviously you've got first aid training, you've got mental health first aid training. Like what are some of the training things that you could consider for your business?
Well, I guess it all depends on what your business is, but you may need all of it. You may need fire safety training, you may need manual handling training, mental health training. Obviously, that's something that's coming in more and more. It's not legislated, of course, but you know, a lot of companies are finding the value in that. Manual handling training, obviously, if you've got employees that are lifting and moving objects. PAT testing, your fire risk assessment, but PAT testing as well, from the fire side of it. you could need the lot. I'm sure there's more as well. There's more training that people could need in different areas that we don't actually provide. But it's endless, isn't it? Health and safety is endless. It's a huge, huge subject.
No, absolutely. And I guess a question for either of you in terms of overall health and safety, is there a place to go, or is there a way to look at your health and safety strategy and think, do you know what, okay, so this does apply to me, this may not be that relevant? Like what would be the best starting point if there's a business owner listening now who thinks, damn, listening to Justin and Drew, we definitely don't do enough? Like what would be the kind of the first piece of guidance there?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I can answer that from the fire side, I think it's really important, you know, that business owners, responsible persons, are aware of the risks that are in their workplace. And you know, the main way to do that is to undertake a fire risk assessment. Mm. The fire risk assessments should be done by a professional who's competent. And where they would get their information from is one, by having an understanding of the work and the workplace that the business owner has. So it's really important to make sure that your professional that you're employing to carry out that risk assessment has, you know, one, understands what you do, and two, has experience in carrying out that type of risk assessment on your property. If the business owner wants information for themselves, just to study up on fire safety, to see where they sit, then, you know, they can always look up the DCLG guides, the Department for Communities and Local Government guides. They're available for free online. And because I got my camera on, I'm going to hold one up for you so you can have a quick look at the camera there. So that's one of them. That's a sleeping accommodation guide, and there's all sorts of these guides. They're all available for free. They came out in 2006 to support business owners or responsible persons with complying with the regulatory reform fire safety order. And so before anybody goes and purchases any manuals, it would my first point of call would be to go onto the .gov website, search DCLG guides. And if you have a hotel, then you could look up sleeping accommodation. If you have an office, you could search offices and shops. Mm-hmm. If you have a farm building, there's buildings on agriculture, you name it, there's a guide for you. And what you do with those guides is you read part one, which breaks. Do you remember those old idiot's guides to Windows that we had back in the day when Windows first came out?
Yeah.
Well, they are written for the end user, which is really important. So they're not a hard read. You may need a glass of wine, but that's fine. And you read part one. And then once you've got questions on part one, or if you need to go into more detail, you then move on to part two, which then covers the same stuff, but goes into more detail. So it will arm the business owner with everything that they need to recognize compliance and non-compliance. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, it will definitely increase the business owner's experience, exposure to fire safety. And if they've got any further questions from there, then they can either contact a fire risk assessment professional, or there's always, never to forget, the local fire and rescue service, because they will have a local enforcement arm, and they are there to provide advice as much as they are to regulate the order as well. So,
no, amazing. No, really, really good advice. Justin, I'm going to stay with you, and I'm going to see if you can pick a equally as good song as Drew's. So what is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So my song is a little bit more old school classic. So I'm going to go for AC/DC Thunderstruck, just because it's a cracking, upbeat song. Everybody likes a little bit of rock, and it's not Sia. So, so there we go.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is The Business Brunch. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that really good song chosen by Justin, I'm sorry, Drew, Justin has won. We've been speaking with our two experts all about safety for your business. And I think we've spoken quite a lot about the things to consider. And what I'm now keen to do is just really talk about what it looks like in reality. So I appreciate there isn't necessarily a one size fits all. I really, really appreciate that. But I think that what we find with a lot of past shows is I think a lot of businesses are very keen to know sort of what could it mean for them. So Drew, I'm just going to talk a little bit about first aid training. So if a business is listening and they're thinking, do you know what? I want to talk to my staff and see if anyone would like to have some first aid training or go on a first aid training course. I appreciate there may be different levels, but can you just give a little bit of a flavor of what some of your courses could look like and what would be kind of the commitment from the employer or the staff member and really what that process looks like?
Yeah, of course. So the most common and popular course that businesses need for their staff is the Emergency First Aid at Work qualification. That is a one-day course or six-hour course. And at the end of the 6 hours, the learners, provided they passed, will all have a level 3 qualification. And that qualification will last for 3 years for them. And then, they don't have to redo it for another 3 years. Update training is always recommended, but legally, they don't have to redo the qualification for another 3 years. So that is by far the most common first aid course that we run. If there's higher risks in the industry or the business, I'm thinking like manufacturing where they're using machinery or there's a really high footfall in the workplace or public coming in and out, then the next level up is the 3-day first aid at work qualification. And that is how it sounds, it's a 3-day course, 3 days of 6 hours, so 18 hours in total. At the end of the qualification, it includes a written exam, that qualification. And at the end, learners that pass have a level 3 qualification in first aid at work, which also lasts for 3 years.
Amazing, amazing. And just in terms of those courses, do they typically come to you? Would you go to the business? Is it a bit of both? Like, what does that look like?
Well, from our point of view, I mean, all providers are different. From our point of view, with First for Safety, we're all our instructors, they're all emergency services professionals, and we all travel to the business. So we don't expect anyone to come to us. We'll always go to them. And we take all the kit and screens and absolutely everything that we could possibly need, we take to the business. And they really, generally, we find that businesses really like that because it's less disruptive. They don't have to send their staff away for the day. They can choose the best date that suits them. So we send them multiple availability. They can choose the time they want the course to run. And if they want to start 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll start at 8. If they don't want to start till 11, we'll start at 11. So we can fit entirely around their operational needs. And they have what's nice as well, they're when they're doing their training, they're training with their colleagues, so they're not in with strangers, and that just makes it immediately more relaxed and more fun and just more upbeat, because there's already, you know, work banter going on because everybody knows each other. So we think it really works, and the businesses that we go to really like that. They really like the fact that we go to them.
No, absolutely. Whilst I'm sure it's not designed to be a team building exercise, I think sometimes it can be.
It kind of is. It does turn into that. Yeah. We make it as much fun as we possibly can. It's really practical, really hands on. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And Justin, I'm going to ask you the exact same question, if that's okay, in terms of what is the process of fire safety in terms of training? Like, what would a training course look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's various training courses out there for what a business would require. If we look at the one that people may have heard of, and that's the fire warden or fire marshal course. If I say fire warden, I mean fire marshal. People like to call it different things, but basically, just to avoid the confusion, it is the same thing. If we call it the fire marshal course, our fire marshal course is around about the 4-hour mark. So again, we come to the business. We bring all the gear with us, and chocolate as well, which is super important. And basically, we take the the nominated individuals that the employer has nominated through the requirements of the fire safety order, through the requirements of what is required within from the government guidance contained within the DCLG guides. We take them through their fire emergency plan. So we discuss what they should be doing and what they currently do and how we can tweak that to make that work. Carry out fire drills with the company to make sure that their fire emergency plan is polished. And at the end of the 4-hour course, they would also have not only a really good understanding of the regulatory reform fire safety order and the actions that they're required to assist the responsible person to maintain competency in that, because the responsible person needs assistance maintaining, you know, all their general fire precautions, their preventative and protective measures, such as, you know, the fire alarm, the fire extinguishers, emergency lighting, all that sort of stuff. And then they get to have a training session at the end of the course on live fire with the fire extinguishers to give them competence and confidence in using the firefighting extinguishers that they have. So we find out what extinguishers they have on site. We bring those along with us, so that's very important. So they're not using an extinguisher that they're not going to be using or that they won't have on site. And then we practice putting out live fires, which are smokeless, so good for every business. So if you do have live fire training with us, you're not going to have loads of smoke pouring over to your neighbor's space and annoying them. And at the end of it, people come out, you know, very, very competent and very, very confident and able to, you know, assist a responsible person in their role of managing fire safety on the site, which is a winner for us, because that's the reason why we got into fire safety in general, was to make sure that, just basically to break down barriers and make sure that we can make fire safety and first aid, to be fair, but for me, fire safety a more easy to understand subject for the business owner.
Absolutely. Thank you both for your thoughts so far. We'll continue the conversation after this.
The Business Brunch Podcast with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. I really, really hope that you've got your notepads out today, because I think that Drew and Justin are kindly really sharing so much information with you, the business owner, which I think is really, really important for us all to consider and take on board. The next question is probably a little bit away from your business, if that's okay, and really focused on probably a conversation before they contact you. So when a business is thinking, do you know what, they're listening now and they're thinking, do you know what, we don't have a fire warden, or we don't have a first aider, we need one. What should be the process of selecting people to go on your course? Like, how should that conversation go about? Is it just a bulk email? Does anyone want to volunteer? Should you select the person that you think would be the best first aider? Like, how is that process? How should that process be? And what would be your advice from your experiences?
That's an interesting question. So, as an employer, I would suggest that the best way to start would be asking for volunteers. Some people have a genuine interest in first aid, or you know, they want to increase their continuing professional development, so they want to add something more onto their CV. A lot of people value it, and rightly so, as such a fantastic skill to have outside of work. Statistically, you're more likely to use first aid skills that you've learnt at work in your private life than you actually are at work. So a lot of people, you know, can see the benefit. It's not everybody's cup of tea. So as an employer, I would try with volunteers first. I know a lot of employers offer an incentive. So people that are first aid trained, because they're taking on more responsibility in the workplace, get a bonus at the end of the year because they are, you know, now trained first aiders. So that would be another consideration for an employer. I'd want people that ideally want to do it, more than kind of trying to force people.
Do you have anything to add on that point, Justin?
Yeah, similar points, really. I think from a fire safety point of view, it's important to understand this is not just a tick box exercise. You know, we're not just trying to tick a box so that we can fluff over the fact that you know, we're trying to comply with the legislation. Like I said earlier, this is about developing a culture where people want to do this. They want to keep people safe. And I think to be a fire warden, understanding what's involved. And, you know, like I said, if you go to those DCLG guides for offices and shops, it has a really good section on there as to what is required to be a fire warden or a fire marshal. And if you are looking to, you know, to put the feelers out across the organisation to select people that you think were competent to carry out that role, then there's a really good, almost like not quite a job description, but it's not bad. It tells you all the things that are the generics for the role. And then, you know, you would be looking for people that could also be competent in your workplace to assist not only evacuating, let's say, other colleagues or visitors that may require assistance, using evac chairs, evacuating the building floor by floor and being authoritative and confident when asking people to leave, isolating machinery and all these sorts of stuff. So it is a role that requires confidence, but competence to do. And it's not like Drew's first aider at work. It's not everybody's cup of tea. But I think people should be not afraid to carry out the role as well, because there's like our courses, fantastic training courses which will give the people the skills that they need to be able to develop the confidence and the competence to be able to effectively carry out these roles for their business.
Absolutely. I imagine it can be really rewarding, and I appreciate you've both been the complete other end of the spectrum in terms of actually fighting fires and being on that kind of front line. But I imagine it's a really rewarding thing to be in that really kind of, I guess, dangerous situation or that emergency and being able to make that genuine difference.
Yeah. Do you know what? There is nothing better than rocking up on the fire engine as an incident commander in charge of a fire and rescue vehicle and a highly competent fire and rescue service crew, and have an equally highly competent trained workforce which are there, ready to pass over information that the business has been evacuated, the location of the fire, you know, where the hazards and the risks are in the building, where the fire alarm control panel is. It just makes the emergency service incident commander's job so much easier by having that seamless handover of information. You can definitely see, you know, the businesses that have polished emergency procedures and those that are, you know, perhaps still in development. So it's definitely worth every business owner having to think about it and getting on board, you know, fire safety in the workplace.
Ben, I was going to add to that, if I can, just from a first aid point of view, having seen it firsthand, and something that I tell a lot of people in our courses, which sometimes they find a bit shocking, but it's not paramedics and doctors that generally save people in emergency situations, first aid situations. Mm. It's what the first aider does or doesn't do at the time. Mm. And there's nothing that you can do to make a situation worse. People can't get sued. But when people know what to do and they're confident with what to do and they act really quickly, that is what saves lives. Mm. You know, starting when somebody's not breathing, calling an ambulance and starting immediate effective CPR and getting somebody else to get a defibrillator as soon as possible, that's what saves lives. Mm. By the time the ambulance turns up, if it hasn't been effective CPR and the person hasn't been defibrillated, the chances of survival are incredibly slim. So I'm so passionate about it, but it's so important. People having the confidence to know what to do straight away, because you know, 10, 15 minutes down the line, sometimes longer, by the time the ambulance turns up, even though of course we'd always come as fast as we possibly can, is sometimes just too late if those immediate procedures haven't been put in place.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, and a really, really valid point. Drew, I'm just going to pick on you again, if that's okay. And we're going to move away from the business show just for a moment, because I think one of the things that you touched on in your introduction is family first aid and the 2-hour course that you offer. And I think that will really resonate with a lot of the listeners, because yes, it is a business show, but you guys have children. I have a child. And like, I think a lot of us have children. So talk about that 2-hour course and what entails and how do people get involved?
Okay, so it's all obviously detailed on our website, and all our prices are on our website. We're very transparent. And if people are interested in booking the course, usually parents, but it doesn't have to be parents. It's perfect for grandparents. It's perfect for babysitters, aunties, uncles, anyone that's involved with children, but not in a professional capacity because they have to do an accredited course. So if you, as a parent, for example, want to know the absolute basics of what to do to basically do the best that you possibly could for your baby or child whilst you waited for an ambulance in a serious emergency situation, then that's the course for you. And again, our instructors, they're all medical professionals. They travel to the client's address. It's really cash. We run the course in the lounge. We run the presentation through the TV. We bring all the mannequins, including baby. I could show you, actually. I've got some baby mannequins if you wanted to have a look. But baby mannequins that we've got that you can breathe into, and the chest inflates and you do your chest compressions on the mannequin. They're obviously proper professional mannequins. Then we've got pediatric mannequins for children, and then we still also demonstrate adult CPR as well. Then we talk about the recovery position. We talk about choking and how you manage choking for a baby, child and adult, because it's all slightly different, as is the CPR. We cover serious bleeds, head injuries, febrile convulsions. What else do we talk about? Meningitis. They're the main burns and scalds as well. They're the main topics. Yeah, and it's very cash, it's very relaxed. We make it as fun as you can possibly make first aid training. It's family and friends all sitting together. We do a lot of NCT groups. We have loads of groups of parents which are connected through NCT, and whoever's got the biggest lounge, that's whose house we go to. Our course, it's £25 per person for the 2-hour course. And then every learner gets a free refresher course. So if they'd like to do the course again, the way that works is they can host a course themselves in the comfort of their own home. And as long as they have a minimum booking of six paying learners, six different learners, then the course is free for them. And we run loads of those free refreshers as well. Every person that hosts a course always gets a complimentary family first aid manual, paediatric first aid manual. And if people are able to get eight learners together or more, they get a free family first aid kit as well. So we throw in lots of little extras as well when we can.
Amazing. And again, I think anyone listening, whether you're a parent or not a parent, I think that moment of seeing a child that needs first aid, I think that was worth its weight in gold. So thank you for that insight. We are very, very almost at the end of the show. We've probably got a minute at a push. But one of the things I like to do in this show is end on a top tip. And it doesn't, you'll be pleased to know, it doesn't need to be a fresh tip of something we haven't spoken about. It can be, absolutely can be, just highlighting something we've spoken about already. But I'm going to go to each of you and just give your closing note, I guess, of one thing to remember. What would be your closing tip? So I'm going to start with you, Justin, if that's okay. What's your closing takeaway top tip?
I think my closing takeaway top tip for fire safety would be don't be afraid to ask for advice. You know, there's a lot of professionals out there, ourselves being one of them, the Fire Rescue Service being the buck stops with them, basically, so they have a protection arm. Always get a fire risk assessment done by a competent professional. There's where do you find a competent professional? You know, nowadays we like to fire risk assessors will generally have their competence assessed and they'll go on to a register such as the Institute of Fire Safety Managers or the Institute of Fire Engineers fire risk assessors registers. And you know, business owners can there's many other registers are available, but that's where you will find your competent fire risk assessors where businesses can rest assured that the person that's turning up is competent and able to do the job.
Amazing. Very almost at the end, Drew. So what is your one line tip to end?
My top tip is when you go to the HSC guidelines, whatever you decide, however many first aiders you decide you need, at least treble it, because you have to account for leave, sickness, shift changes, shift work, training days, and somebody that's left the company. You have to be able to provide that minimum level of first aid, regardless of those other considerations.
Amazing. Great advice. And what a way to end the show. But thank you so much to you both for joining us on the Business Brunch on Get Radio today. It's been a really, really important show that genuinely could save lives. So thank you so much for both of you for your time and contribution to a discussion. And I think if you haven't done so already, do head over to the First for Safety Oxfordshire website, as there's lots and lots of information on that website as well. So just a reminder, we are going to be back next week with a brand new guest. Well, not really a guest. I'm joined by Rich from The Breakfast Show, and we're going to be reflecting back on the last few months of these radio shows and really sharing some of the knowledge and the expertise that have been shared over the weeks. Just a reminder, you can listen to this show online and on the radio every Sunday at 11 a.m. You can listen to the podcast format, which is available on all your favourite podcast platforms and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format so you can see all my lovely guests, which is available on the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing on Sunday, in Oxfordshire this Sunday, enjoy the rest of the week, and I will see you next week.